It's Marketplace Tech for Wednesday, June 7th. I'm Molly Wood, filling in for Ben Johnson. Uber has fired 20 people as outside law firms investigate its culture and allegations of sexual harassment. The company is awaiting a full report from a team headed by former Attorney General Eric Holder. In the midst of all of that, Uber announced this week that it had hired Harvard Business School professor Francis Fry to be Senior Vice President of Leadership and Strategy. Francis is on the line now from Uber's San Francisco headquarters. Hi, Francis. Thanks for being here.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here.
I understand that you've been consulting with the company for a while, but why you? What is your specialty?
I've been a consultant for a few months. I study service organizations, and I particularly study service organizations at important inflection points. So Uber is perhaps the most important service organization of our time, and I think from any lens in, it's at an inflection point.
And so in that 3 months, what did you determine that made you decide that this is worth it and you can do it?
Yeah, so I diagnosed three main challenges. One is that the collection of senior leaders did not act like a senior leadership team, and so it needs to move from individuals to a team. The second observation is that there are, I think, 3,000 managers in this organization, and when folks struggle at this organization, or indeed when they leave, it's almost always because of an interaction they had with their manager. So you'd think, oh gosh, we have bad managers. It turns out we have not been giving leadership training to our managers. So the managers haven't been set up for success. And then I think organizationally, we do not have a clear and coherent strategy that will allow everyone to row in the same direction.
If you had to pick one of those things, you know, that was your day one task.
Leadership team. The team, it's super hard to have an effective organization that doesn't have a team at the top that relies on one another, that is collectively responsible for the organization. You know, it's tempting to have a CEO run an organization, but that's actually, you can only be quite a small organization for that to be the case.
Everything I have heard from Uber employees is really that all things flow through Travis. That's not uncommon in the Valley. Is it particularly pronounced at Uber?
What's particularly pronounced is that everything can reach Travis because there's no team to absorb it.
How about the willingness to change? How committed is Uber to real change?
So this is the due diligence I did for those few months. One is to diagnose the problem to make sure that I'm a good fit, of which I did. Two is to make sure that these are the good guys. I only help good people and good organizations. And then I had to convince myself that the people were terrific. I've met over 1,000 of them in meaningful interactions. And I have to tell you, they are just earnest, lovely, smart, open to help.
And what's the upside for you in all of this?
Oh, so this is the most important industry of our time, no disrespect to any other. It's at an inflection point where, honestly, it could go either way. And I have been given the opportunity to come in and make a difference.
Yeah.
I'm kind of the luckiest person in the world.
Francis Fry is Uber's new SVP of Leadership and Strategy. Francis, thank you so much.
It was an absolute pleasure. Thank you for taking the time.
You can hear my full interview with Francis Fry on Marketplace.org.
Hi, it's Ben Brock Johnson. Marketplace is here because these days it's essential to have an independent source explaining how the economy really works, not just for CEOs, but for everyone. Your support keeps this kind of reporting coming, and it's especially vital now at the end of our fiscal year. Visit marketplace.org/donate to contribute and to keep us in your world every day. And thanks.
In the wake of the London Bridge terror attack that took place on Saturday, British Prime Minister Theresa May has called for new ways to regulate the internet and to, quote, deprive extremists of their safe spaces online. This is not a new position for Prime Minister May. Greater government control over the internet and technology is part of her party's election platform that was released last month. UK voters head to the polls tomorrow, and if her Conservative Party prevails, the platform could get a big boost. Here with me now is Rory Kethlen-Jones, technology correspondent for our partner, the BBC. Rory, what might these restrictions actually look like?
I think we've got to separate this into two areas. So the easier area is the cracking down on extremist content. And there the companies are sort of coming together to say, yeah, we recognize this. Now, there are obviously huge problems with this because you're asking, in some cases, the companies to act as effectively censors, and decide what is acceptable and what isn't. And the companies say that's really for the government to do. But there is a possibility of some agreement, some international agreement on action there. Where it's more difficult is the second area, because there's been more focus over the last couple of years about end-to-end encryption, whereby the companies themselves have no access to the messages that are potentially sent by terrorists to each other. And there we're getting pushback from the internet companies saying, well, what do you want us to do? Do you really want us to put a backdoor in encryption? Because that would be disastrous. And there, I think the internet industry, the internet giants, are pretty united in their opposition to concessions there.
These kinds of issues have come up before, partly because the UK and the European Union have different laws than the US, but a lot of these companies are based in the US, which has very strong speech protections affecting how they act. What kind of tension do you anticipate there?
There's a feeling that the American companies come to this and just quote the First Amendment at governments in the UK and across the rest of Europe and are not really willing to engage. So, yeah, there are different standards. In some ways, the UK is a bit of a halfway house. I think, for instance, in Germany, there's far more concern about clamping down on this, about taking action.
Rory Kethlen-Jones is a technology correspondent for our partner, the BBC. Thanks so much, Rory.
Thank you.
Prime Minister May's party had looked to take a lot of seats when she called the UK snap election back in April. Since then, according to the latest polls, her party's lead has narrowed somewhat, but she is still expected to have a majority in Parliament. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.